If you'll stand with me, and as we read, and if you'd like to join, the word should be up on the screen, hopefully, as I read the scripture, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day, evil day, and have done all to stand. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, for reading that portion of scripture, and ladies for singing that that wonderful song, Pass It On. We told about a young five-year-old boy who was asked by his mother to go into the pantry to get some tomato soup for him, and the little boy didn't want to. Mommy, it's dark in there, and I'm just go in. Need that tomato soup, honey, and you won't be by yourself. Jesus will be in there with you. Well, he was pretty reluctant, but he still went over very slowly towards the door. He opened the door. Sure enough, it was dark. He was scared. His hands started to tremble. And then he had an idea. He said, Jesus, if you're in there, could you get me the tomato soup? There are things in the Christian life that the Lord will do for us, and there are things in the Christian life that he will not do for us. And it's good for us to be able to distinguish between the two, and it's particularly important when we're talking about spiritual warfare with our adversary. What are some things that we can and should do as Christians to fight the spiritual battle? What are some fundamental truths about spiritual warfare? In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, we see some fundamental truths, spiritual warfare 101, about fighting the spiritual battle that all believers are engaged in. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Might be good to kind of get a broad context here. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul is telling us how to walk in a manner worthy of our high and holy calling, how to live the Christian life in light of who we are in Christ. And since Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he's explained how we are to live the Christian life. And if we do a reasonably good job in leading the Christian life, there's somebody who's not going to be happy. Yes, who he is. Spiritual warfare 101. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. That verb in the Greek is in the present tense and in the passive voice. What does that mean? The present tense means continually be strong in the Lord. The passive voice means You need to get the strength from somewhere outside of yourself, a source outside of yourself. In other words, we don't have sufficient strength or wits to be able to win the spiritual battle on our own. We need to be strengthened by the Lord, the source of our strength. It is His might and His wisdom that enables us to win the spiritual battle against the evil one. Oh, what a great lesson to learn and not to have to relearn time and time again. Be strong, be strengthened by the Lord. Paul is very familiar with this. Thou therefore my strengthened by God's grace. And Paul says that to Timothy because he's going to face some opposition, a political be against him, false. All things in Christ who strengthens you, Philippians 4, verse 13 tells us. When we got God and we're leaning on the Lord, and we've got His strength and His wisdom, the battle is a mismatch on our side. If we don't, the battle is a mismatch on Satan's side. And it's just a good 101 thing to learn and to remember. What is the secret of experiencing the Lord's strength in this spiritual battle? Well, turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes one earlier. And God gives him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Verse 8, concerning this thing, this thorn, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient. It's enough for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We get to experience the strength of God when we acknowledge and realize how weak we are without Him. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, I recognize my need. I need the grace of God to enable me to get through this thorn in the flesh, to be able to endure it, to live gracefully with it. And I need to rely on the strength of the Lord. I need to recognize that in and of myself, I'm not going to be able to handle this. I'm going to lose the battle against the thorn in the flesh that has been given to me from Satan. But if I recognize my need, I rely on the Lord, I'm going to experience an abundance of power and strength and wisdom and might. It's good to remember that Satan is very, very intelligent. He's way more intelligent than any of us. He's not nearly as intelligent as God, but he's way more intelligent than we are. And he can ensnare us and entangle us in things that we don't even realize until after we've been ensnared and entangled. So we need to remember, I need the Lord's strength. I need to lean on Him and to be dependent upon Him to win the daily spiritual battle. Second spiritual fundamental truth, we need to secure our spiritual armor. We need to be strengthened by the Lord, and we need to secure our armor. We are vulnerable when we're on our own and we're not leaning on the Lord's strength. And we're vulnerable when we don't secure our spiritual armor. It's a vulnerability issue, right? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. put on the whole armor of God. The amount of armor that we need is all of it. The whole armor of God. The idea of the word armor is, it's a compound word, all and weapon. You need to put on all of your weapons. You need spiritual weapons for spiritual battles. If I were taking notes, I would probably put that in the margin. We need spiritual weapons for spiritual battles. And you need all of them up. The idea of the word put on, is a verb in the aorist tense, which means put it on one time and just keep it on. Put it on and keep it on and don't drop it. So the amount of armor is all of the armor all of the time. And if you drop it, you become vulnerable. Any piece of the armor at any time. In Luke chapter 22, let's just kind of get some details about this, how it works out in real life. Luke chapter 22, our Lord is getting ready to go to the cross. Verse 31 of Luke 22. The Lord's talking to Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. When you sift something as wheat, you want to see what the wheat, you throw it up in the air. And you want to see what's real wheat and what's the chaff, which is not valuable at all. He wants to make sure that you're the real thing. He's going to test you to see if you're as loyal to me as you think you are. If your faith is really genuine, he has asked permission to test you, Peter. I prayed for you, Peter. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is praying for us in our spiritual battles? I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, you will strengthen your brethren. I've prayed that your faith ultimately will not fail, and you're going to return to me. In other words, you're going to fall away for a season. It's going to happen. You're going to walk away from me for a season. But I have prayed and you will return to me. And you will be equipped to strengthen your brother's faith. That's what I prayed for you. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I'm going to pass the test and I'm not too sure you really even need to pray for me. I've got this. He said, I'll tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. I just want you to know that you're going to fail the test in the short run. So we need to be strengthened by the Lord, this shows us, and we need to have on our spiritual armor at all times. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, therefore, Peter, he kind of learned his lesson, didn't he? Therefore, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may devour. I mean, sometimes I've heard Christians say, you know, Satan's not going to bother with me, and his buddies aren't going to bother with me. I'm nobody. Well, you're a whomever. And as long as you're a whomever, he's looking to devour. And it's just good to know that. He's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for places of vulnerability. He's looking for an opening. He's looking for an opening. He's looking for us to drop a piece of our spiritual armor. He's looking for us to drop the breastplate of righteousness so that he can attack our heart. He's looking for us to drop the helmet of salvation so he can go for our head. He's looking for us to not have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace so he can step on our toes. It's a real battle. He's looking for us to drop a piece of our spiritual armor. And with Peter, he found the breastplate of righteousness. He found his weakness to be overconfidence and pride. And we know what happened, right, in Matthew chapter 26. Our Lord's giving Peter another shot here. Later on that night, in verse 39, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And so our Lord is praying. He came back to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you keep awake and pray for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Peter says, "No, I need my sleep more than I need to pray right now. I need my sleep." And he didn't. He was not strong in the Lord and the power of the Lord's might. He wasn't strengthened by the Lord. And his spiritual armor was down. Put on all the armor all the time. Now the question arises, what is the purpose of this armor? When we go back to our text in Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that," or "for the purpose that, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word "wiles" has the idea of schemes or strategies. It was a word used in extra biblical times to describe an animal that would strategically come up upon its prey and then pounce on it. What a great picture. He wants to strategically come upon those who belong to Jesus and pounce. And so the purpose is to defend ourselves against the schemes of the devil, plans of the evil one. Now, what does he do? How does he do it? How does he attack? Well, let's take a look at a couple of texts here. Bring this down to real life terms. John chapter 8 really tells us about Satan. And we're talking in general terms here. Again, this is Spiritual Warfare 101. When we go to the individual pieces of armor, we'll really see how he works. But general terms, okay? John 8:44. Jesus says to the Pharisees and other leaders, Jewish leaders of that day, "You are of your father, the devil." Now I'm going to tell you about that. "The desires of your father you want to do. He," that is Satan, "was a murderer from the beginning. He seeks to destroy. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. He's incapable of telling the truth. He always lies and deceives. When he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own resources because he's a liar and the father of it." If we were to summarize that, what does Satan seek to do? He's a murderer. He wants to destroy. He's a liar. He wants to destroy through deception. He destroys. He's destructive through deception. What he wants to do is to get us to think thoughts that are lies, to think thoughts that are not true about ourselves, about other people, and about God. He wants us to think thoughts that are not true about ourselves, other people, or God. Because if he knows that if he can get us to think wrong, he can just sit back and watch us self-destruct. Just get people to think wrong. And really, that's all he is able to do. But it's enough. It's enough. He wants us to think incorrectly. And his job is done. Now, how does this work in real life? Well, you may have heard of the saying that a man who's losing his hair across the front is a thinker, and a man who loses his hair across the back is a lover, and a man who loses his hair in the front and the back just thinks that he's a lover. To be a thinker or to be a lover, no problem. I would like to be known as a thinker and as a lover. That's not a problem whatsoever. But to think that you're a lover and then to discover that you're not a lover, now that could be a problem. That could really attack the male ego, could it not? So let's suppose that that's what happens to me. Let's suppose it happens to me. All these years I think I'm a lover. And then all of a sudden, maybe some dynamics between my wife and myself, whatever, I lose that thought about myself. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'm insecure about this whole relationship thing. I'm insecure about her responding to my romantic overtures. I start to get jealous when she talks to other men. Right? And the dynamics between her and I change completely. I lack trust and confidence in our relationship. And it affects not only our relationship, it affects my relationship with other guys who I no longer trust as they talk to my wife. And all of this is in my mind. Nothing has changed. But Satan can just sit back and enjoy. And the same thing works, by the way, with ladies. What is one thing that Satan uses from my illustration? And oh, have I seen this over and over again in real life? He uses our insecurities. Oh, does he use our insecurities? And we begin to think wrong. And once we think wrong, woo, all kinds of things fall off the track. Satan also, from the believer's armor, he uses our sinful bents. We sin in an area, and then he solidifies the thought based upon that sin, and then we go down the path. And we'll see that with the breastplate of righteousness. We'll see that with the helmet of salvation. We'll see that with other things. Oh my, I keep sinning in the same area. How could God love me? I know he doesn't love me. There's no way he could love me because I keep messing up in the same area. The helmet of salvation is gone. And so he uses our sinful bent. He uses our insecurities. And there's one more thing that he uses when he tries to destroy by deception. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul was always ministering, wasn't he? He's always serving. He's always trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice what Satan does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, we endeavored more eagerly to see you, see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. Paul says, we've been trying to get back to see you, Thessalonians, and have a ministry in your life and to see how you're doing, but Satan kept on hindering us. He kept on stopping us. Another thing that Satan likes to use in our lives is discouragement. Discouragement, particularly in areas of ministry, discouragement in relationship with our kids, discouragement through hindering ministry and hindering progress in our lives and the lives of others. He loves to use discouragement. He loves to use insecurities, and he loves to use our sinful bent, our bosom sins. That's what he loves to use. But as long as we have up the spiritual armor, he can't do any of that. He can't do any of that because we're thinking right. As long as we think right, we'll live right. As long as we have spiritual weapons up for spiritual battles, he can't do a thing. He's got nothing on us. And so spiritual warfare 101, we want to be strong in the Lord because when it's just us and Satan, he's way smarter than we are. We want to have secure our spiritual armor because he can't really do anything to us. He can't even get us to think wrong if we have the spiritual armor up. And we see the need for this armor in verse 12. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, not against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. If we take those words one by one just briefly, principalities means rulers, and against powers has the idea of authority. Satan and his buddies, they rule planet Earth. They set up the anti-God system, the world system that is against God's values and God's truth and God's principles. We see that all around us. They are rulers and they have authority on this in this world. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, again, they rule this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness, that's what they want to do, is spread wickedness in the heavenly places, that is, in the realms that we cannot see. And so we have this need for this armor because we're battling against Satan and his well-organized hosts of angels, principalities, powers, rulers, darkness of this age. So many things that we see going on in the world, my goodness, we always blame people, but sometimes, like, who's behind the people? My goodness. And sometimes when you even hear disagreements with people in the church and stuff, Satan's trying to mess with us. He's trying to get in there. And with our families, he's trying to get in there. He's looking for an opening. That's what he wants to do, is get in there. See? But if we're strengthened by the Lord and we realize we're dependent upon him and we secure all the pieces of the spiritual armor, he can't do anything. He can't do anything. Finally, stand your ground. Final truth, 101. By the way, I hope you prayed for me more this week than usually. He usually doesn't like what I'm doing right now. Just thought I'd share that. Stand your ground, verse 13. Therefore, in light of all this, take up the whole armor of God. You need to secure that armor so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Now, Paul makes it pretty clear what he wants us to do here in this battle. If we go back up to verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In our verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Four times, three verses, I think he wants us to stand. And that really tells us what we're supposed to do is just to stand our ground. James says it this way in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he, that is God, will draw near to you. If we do it right, we confess, let's say, we're putting down the armor somewhere. We confess our sin. We ask God to forgive us. We submit our heart and our life to God. Satan's got to flee. He's got to run. Even if he's in there, he's got to get out. Resist him. Stand your ground. Do not rebuke him. Don't rebuke him. In Jude, verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel. Now, just kind of going over the rung here. An archangel has more power and authority and wisdom than we do. Okay? Yet Michael, the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, what to do with Moses' corpse, Michael dared not bring against him, that is Satan, a reviling accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord take care of you. So, we're not supposed to go around looking for fights. We're not supposed to be picking up battles like that. Don't rebuke him. Don't pick a fight with him. Our job is to stand. Stand. Defensive position. As he looks for his opening, don't give him an opening. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul has some more helpful insights in verse 15. Jesus, the one who has disarmed principalities and powers, he's disarmed them. It'd be like going to, you know, North Korea or Russia and just taking all their nuclear weapons. No more nuclear weapons. You don't have any. It's disarming. Jesus disarmed all the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's what the resurrection and his death was all about. It's good for us to recognize that Satan and his demons have been disarmed. They have no, recognize that they have no authority over us. They really can't do anything but make us to think squirrely thoughts. And then sit back and watch the self-destruction take place. Insecurities, discouragement, bosom sins. That's what he likes to take advantage of. But he has no authority. He's disarmed. He can gum us to death. He's like the abominable snowman on Rudolph. He got his teeth taken off from Herbie the Dentist. I love that show. And so our job is to stand and not give him an opening to help us to think wrong and to solidify that wrong thinking so that we just keep thinking wrong. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved brethren. Stand fast in the Lord. Spiritual Warfare 101. Recognize that we need the Lord's strength and his wisdom. Secure all of our armor all of the time. And just stand our ground. Don't look. Don't look for a fight. It's a defensive, strong position. Lord, we thank you that there is victory in Jesus, and not merely for salvation, but here in this life. Help us to not be ignorant of the evil one's schemes. And I pray for each one of us. Help us, Lord God, to help us to realize that as much as you love us and you love our souls, Satan hates us and he hates our souls and he wants to render us ineffective. He wants us to discredit your name. He wants us to not be instrument of righteousness in your hands. He wants us to be defeated and discouraged and downcast. He wants us to be our own worst enemies in our thinking. And so help us, Lord, to remember we need your strength. We need your might. Help us to secure our spiritual armor as often as possible, and when we drop it, to confess the sin that is associated with it and help us to stand our ground, not looking for a fight. Thank you for loving us enough to not let us just be wide open and vulnerable. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.